just remain standing and we'll open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 28. And we'll take for our text verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We believe, Father, that you have commanded us to go forth into all nations teaching. And so, Lord, we commit the obedience to thy word into thy keeping, and we ask that you would bless this word and may it bring forth fruit in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And the word teach is a Greek word, mathetuo, and it means to disciple or to make pupils of. To instruct, to teach, or to enroll as a scholar. And Brother Branham said that when the light comes to a prophet or a messenger of God, it comes to him in a certain region, and then from that region it goes out to the world through men who have been faithfully taught. That's from the Church Age book. And we're seeing that in this hour. And that is what is happening today. And that word nations that he says teach all nations is the word ethnos or tribes, especially foreign ones, Gentiles, nations, and people. So we see that God has instructed us to do so, and Brother Branham said that when the last child is in and child trained that we'll go home. We turn also to John chapter 15 and verse 24. Verse 23, actually. Let's go back to verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And John chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are from thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given to me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so also I send them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest to me I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So you see this glory, which is the doxa, which is the opinion, the assessment, and the value of God, or the assessment or the judgment of God, that the same mind, basically, of God that he placed in his Son, Jesus said, I have given to them, that they may be one. So our being one with God, as Jesus was one with God, is that we have the same word, or the same mind that was in Christ. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in thee. You know, we see this prayer from Jesus, and he's letting us know that his desire is that we have the same oneness with the Father that he had. You know, the Pentecostals among us in the message, who cannot understand the difference between the Father and the Son, they read the verse of Scripture in John chapter 14 where Jesus says to Philip, Philip says to Jesus, he says, show us the Father and it'll suffice. And Jesus said, I've been so long with you and you don't recognize me. He says, when you see me, you see the Father. That's verse 7. Jesus says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If he had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if ye love me, you'll keep my word. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And we know that he comes at the time of the adoption. And this is the time of the adoption, as you have seen, as we have preached on in this church here. Now, notice Jesus is letting Philip know. He says, Philip says, you know, show us the Father and it'll satisfy. And Jesus said, well, I've been with you so long and you don't recognize me. He said, the words that I speak, they're not my words. He said, it's the Father that's in me. He doeth the work. So Jesus is letting him know that it's that the declaration of God's presence and the declaring of God, because let's face it, God is a spirit. And God said in the book of in Acts, Paul quotes from in the scripture in Acts 13. He says, I will do a work in your day, a work in which no man will believe, though a man declare it unto you. That's Acts 13. Let's see here, 13:38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren. Excuse me, 10:38. Hold on just a second here. Let's see here. No, 13:48. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you have put it far from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, I turn to the Gentiles. That's not actually the scripture I'm looking for. But anyway, is it 48? I'm in 13. Oh, 48, excuse me, I'm reading 46. I've got to get my glasses fixed. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. No, that's not actually not it. There's a verse of scripture, and if I had my other Bible with me, I have it marked down. But Paul says basically that... verse 41, behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your day, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And this Bible don't have marked up at all. But anyway, notice God says that I will work a work in your day, a work in which no man will believe. So there's coming a time when God himself will come. He will do the work, but no man will believe it, though a man declare it to you. So we're talking about the declaration of what God is doing. As Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare him that he is here. And yet we find man just doesn't want what God has. We read several scriptures this morning where John 15:24, Jesus said, well, they hate me because they hate my Father. He said, now that I've given them thy word, the world hateth them. So it's the word that they hate. I received an email the other night, and it was from a brother from over in Eastern Africa and in Eastern Uganda. And he said, I couldn't understand why these brothers were coming against the what you teach, he said. So I decided to, they invited me to your church, to their church to preach. And so I decided to give them the teaching, but not to say where I got it from. And so he said, I never mentioned your name. And he said, and they enjoyed what I taught. So he said, it's not the actual doctrine that they hate. He said, what they hate is the name Brian. And I found that around the world, that it's not men say that, you know, they absolutely disdain, they hate Brother Vail. And yet I asked them, I said, have you ever heard him preach? Well, no, I haven't heard him preach. Well, how can you hate a man when you never heard him preach? You know, it's just because what it is, it's men have passed along a hatred for a name. But praise the Lord, when I was over there in Congo, and you'll see a picture today, but the name Lee Vail, hated amongst many, is loved also among many. And there are 2 to 3 Lee Vails now, little black Lee Vails, and, in the Congo. And there's one in Gabon. Brother Serge Ngoye just had a son. And he wrote to me and he asked me what I thought would be a good name. And I said, well, I don't want to tell you what to name your child. But I did say, you know, if you have a daughter, you can name her Levon. But anyway, I said, no, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I said, you know, but why don't you just name it after someone that, you know, you see as a devoted, consecrated Christian? That would be a good example, because Brother Bram said we should, you know, names have meaning. So... anyway, so they named the child Lee Vail. So now there's 4 Lee Vails. Actually, there's 5, the original. And I think Fred Smith's son is named after Brother Vail as well. His name is Lee. Oh, yeah, he's William, is Lee William or William Lee? anyway, they but they did name him after Brother Vail. So so there's a few out there, and I actually have a picture I'm going to show you today of little Brian that was born a couple years ago, and he was dedicated. And then since then, there's two or three others they told me when I was standing there, and we took the picture of the little boy. They sent a picture, if you recall, when the baby was being dedicated to the Lord, and they sent a letter along with it saying that when I came in 2004, that they had been in a church which was basically organizational and very much blind to the doctrine of the message, and actually the message set them free so that they could worship God in spirit and truth. And so they left that church. They now attend Brother Mavenga's church. And when they had a baby, they wanted to name it after me. So anyway, so the name is maybe hated on one hand, but it's respected on the other. But this morning, what I would like to do is I would like to just talk about the trip a little bit. We began by flying into Kinshasa, and which is in Congo. And in 2004, when Christina and I were there, they had 8 million people in Kinshasa. They now have, in three years, they've grown from 8 million to 10 million. So they've grown by 25% in just 3 years. And the place is extremely crowded. You would see lines a quarter of a mile long for people waiting for some type of public transportation or commercial transportation, taxis, whatever they could get. There's just not enough of there. The city, the air is very, very polluted. It's very hard to breathe. You got diesel fuel, and you basically any car from Europe and from different countries that has basically run its life out is now in these African cities, just as many of the cars from Japan, which, you know, basically, actually the Japanese turn theirs over a little bit sooner, I think about 40,000 to 50,000 miles, but these cars down there, they turn over about 175,000 miles. So, you know, the cars are, the rings are very loose, and they're really pouring a lot of chemical, you know, debris into the air, and it was very difficult to breathe. The conditions are very, very hard, and I just pray for the brethren, because it's crowding so much that you know, to buy even property is just extremely expensive, considering their wages of maybe $100 to $200 a month. And you know, if you want to buy a lot, you know, if you're fortunate to find one for $6,000 or $6,500, then you've got probably $10,000 worth of building a house on top of that. But, you know, that's basically, if their wages are maybe $3,000 a year, you know, if they're fortunate and they have a good job, or maybe $1,200 a year if they're not, you know, you take just the cost of a home is about maybe 15 to 20 times the annual salary. Well, in this country, you know, the average salary is somewhere, I don't know, I'm just guessing 35 to maybe 50,000. And so, you know, if you buy a house for $150,000, which is the average home size, or $130,000, you're talking about 2.5 times your salary. Well, over there, you're talking about maybe, you know, 10 to 15, maybe 20 times your annual salary. It's almost impossible. And so, you know, if a person makes $100 a month, they pay out anywhere from 80 if they get just a little two-bedroom house. It's no bigger than, maybe the whole house, but no bigger than my study in here. And, or, you know, I mean, if they're just very, very small. And if they want something more, they're going to have to pay about $150 a month. So, you know, it just becomes basically everything's paying for rent. And so, you know, the people don't have the weight problem that we have in this country because they don't have a lot to eat. And so just keep them in prayer. But the Lord is really doing a great job there. We spoke there 8 hours one day, 7 or 8 the other day. Anyways, between 7 and 8 hours a day, we had morning and evening services. And then I got to meet, there's about 18 brothers. We have pictures of it, and I'll show you here. 18 brothers who actually been getting together once a month, studying the doctrine for 3 years now since the meetings. And these brothers are really solid, and they're a real core in which the rest of all of Africa is being fed, all the French nations, French-speaking nations are being fed right out of Congo. They printed up books, and let me just show you what the books look like. They printed up the books that they distributed at the meeting, were all done in French, and they were done by a copier that we gave the brethren, the same copier is under $500 here, it's $1,500 over there. They did the La Divinity, which is the which it means God or the Godhead. La Difference entre Dieu et son Fils, which is the difference between the Father and the Son. Melchizedek, La Presence de Jesus Christos, which is the presence of Jesus Christ. L'Esprit d'Adoption, which is the spirit of adoption. La Manifestation du Fils de Dieu, which is the manifestation of the sons of God. La Foi de Jesus et Gethsemane, which is the faith of Jesus, basically from Gethsemane to the cross. Apparition et Venue, which is the appearing and coming. And Parousia. So these books were all distributed. They printed up 1,000, and these were distributed at the minister meetings. And they will be continue to print many books, and these books will be distributed. Am I too loud? Okay, the books will be distributed all over Congo, Congo Republic, Malawi, Mozambique, Gabon, and Cameroon, and all the French-speaking nations. So the brothers there in are doing a tremendous job in Congo. Then from there we traveled over to the Congo Republic. We had to travel across the Congo River, which in some places is about 3 kilometers wide. I think where we were at was maybe a half a mile wide or so. You could actually see Brazzaville, which is the largest city. There's 2 million people in Brazzaville. And then there's only 3 million people in the whole country. So you can see that, you know, the Congo Republic is not very populated. You'll see the airstrip that we had to, when we went from Brazzaville to Dolisi, and Dolisi's on the map, so I thought it would be a good-sized town. And it has a good-sized population, but the buildings are basically made out of dirt and mud and brick, and just the roads are just dirt, and there's nothing real modern about it except for the main street going through it, which, you know, was fairly nice. But anyway, the airstrip that we landed at in both places was dirt, and well, you just have a chance to kind of see how rugged it really is. The people dress nice. You'll notice they take pride in their appearance. They dress nice, and they all have cell phones. But that's about the amount of technology and modern that they have. Many of the homes don't have water, don't have electricity, and the people just work hard, and just very very sad situation when you consider what we have versus what they have. Now, also, then we went back across the river after those meetings were done, and we went to Mabanza, which is a city about halfway between Kinshasa and Angola, and it's way out. It's actually maybe 80-minute drive, or maybe, I don't know, maybe a couple-hour drive to the ocean. So we did have nice breeze the whole time that we were there, and it was high up. Like a city built on a very high hill. And so there was constant breeze all the time. We didn't have any mosquitoes. We could actually sleep with the windows open because there wasn't air conditioning there because it was basically not needed. And the atmosphere was a lot, but the weather was a lot like San Diego, kind of dry, but very, very cool pretty much. And it was just a beautiful place as far as weather goes, as far as the streets were all dirt, and but the people had a very welcoming spirit when we came into town. The local pastor there, they met us with a contingent of many young sisters, maybe 13 to 17 or 16, all dressed in white, and they were kind of hostesses, I guess, of the meeting. And they met us with song, and things. And anyway, it was then they escorted us over to the radio and television station, which used to be a hotel years ago, and is now radio and television. And so before we had meetings, we actually were interviewed on the television, and we talked to the people in the country about the meetings. And anyway, and I talked a little bit about the Godhead and presence and the importance of it. Then, Brother Michael, would you go out and get rid of that dog out there? Thank you. Anyway, then we had a tremendous experience take place in the meeting, because we had the last day of services. I was preaching and on the difference between the Father and the Son, and showing the importance of it, because if we understand the role of the Father and the Son, or the Son to the Father, his role as Son, then we'll understand, we should be able to understand our own role, getting us ready for the adoption. And while I was speaking, there was a little bit of a stir over to my right. I could see Brother Mavenga get up and walk outside, and I knew that, you know, he probably was checking on, because there were some people talking outside of the building, and he had gotten up to go check it out. And then after he did, then the hosting pastor got up and walked out, and then Brother Ben Caleb was sitting at the door, and he walked out. But the rest of the ministers were all there, and I kept continued preaching. And, of course, I had no clue what was going on outside. But what they saw was a rainbow coming from a distance, and as it moved down, it settled right over the church in the form of a great arch, you know, like a rainbow. And then as it sat there for a while, then all of a sudden it worked into a complete circle. It actually, I don't want to say morphed itself, or maybe enmorphed itself is better. It enmorphed anyway into a complete circle, and then it positioned itself, and the sun was positioned directly in the center of this circle, and it, as it held itself right over the church while I continued to preach. And they said it was basically there for the service. So then after the service, it went away. So that truly, that kind of spread very fast amongst the ministers. And we do have a couple interviews of brothers that night, because I actually didn't know too much about it until the night when I just heard that there were three rainbows. You know, they saw three rainbows. What it was, they saw it in three positions. It was here, and all of a sudden, then it moved to here, then it moved right over the church, and then it went from there into a full circle. And so, which is very strange, because there was no rain. It was very dry. The sun, there wasn't one cloud in the sky. It was just perfectly sunny. And you don't usually see a rainbow move across the sky like that, or move down from the heavens, actually. And you know, you don't see rainbows move like that. I mean, we do believe it was some type of visitation from the Lord. Brother Vail, you know, he said there's many ways we could look at that, but they all have to do with the sun, you know, and coming full circle, you know, and the centering around the sun. And so, of course, the sun representing the Son of God. It was just, I didn't see it myself. It just echoed basically back what the brothers said about it. So at this time, I'm going to turn the service now into